Good morning.
Yes, just what we needed.
What's that?
Yeah, the rain. Just what we needed. I'll give my begonias up for lost.
Box 365.
Mind you, if it carries on like this, oh, they'll be belted to shreds.
Quite.
Oh, here are, sir, 7 letters.
Ah, thanks.
Take a seat over there, sir. Read them in comfort.
Thank you. Oh. 3 letters from philanthropic Scotsmen offering to advance me money. 1 bookie, 1 undertaker. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Who gave you wibbly-wob for the Jubilee Cup? Oh, this looks more like it. If R. Smith will meet the writer in the lobby of the Piccadilly Hotel at 12 sharp Friday, July the 1st, business may result if business meant and terms reasonable. R. Smith will wear a pink chrysanthemum in his buttonhole and will say to the writer, there will be rain in Northumberland tomorrow, to which the writer will reply, good for the crops. Kindly be punctual. Well, at least it'll while away the weary hour before lunch. Just time to buy a chrysanthemum. There will be rain in Northumberland tomorrow.
My dear old chap, I've been waiting for you to speak for the last 5 minutes. Knew we'd met before somewhere, but couldn't place you. Fancy meeting you again like this.
It's a small world.
I'd ask you to come and have a drink. But the fact is, my ass of a man sent me out this morning without a penny. Forgot to give me my note case.
How trying.
I'll tell you what. Lend me a fiver, my dear old boy. That's the best way out of the difficulty. I can send it round to your hotel or wherever you are this evening when I get home.
Leave me, comrade. Pass along, old friend. Pass along.
Nothing doing?
Nothing.
No harm in trying.
None whatever.
You look such a perfect mug with that eyeglass. It quite tempts a chap.
I can quite understand how it must.
No offence, then. No offence.
The situation is somewhat losing its sparkle. A chappie in a snuff-coloured suit. Well, here goes. There will be rain in Northumberland tomorrow.
Eh?
There will be rain in Northumberland tomorrow.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch.
There will be rain in Northumberland tomorrow.
No, my name's Prescott.
I say, did I hear you say that there would be rain in Northumberland tomorrow?
If you were anything within the radius of a dozen yards while I was chatting with that deaf adder, I think it's possible that you did.
Good for the crot. Come over here where we can talk quietly. So you're Harper Smith?
The same.
I say, Dashit, you're frightfully late, you know. I told you to be here at 12 sharp. It's nearly 12 past.
You wrong me. I arrived here precisely at 12, since when I have been standing like patience on a monument.
Like what?
Let it go. It is not important.
And I asked you to wear a pink chrysanthemum.
I am wearing a pink chrysanthemum. I should have imagined that was a fact that could hardly be overlooked.
With that thing, I thought it was some kind of cabbage. I meant one of those little, what do we call it, that people do wear in their buttonholes.
Carnation, possibly?
Yeah, that's right.
If you had studied botany at school, comrade, much misery might have been avoided. I cannot tell you the spiritual agony I suffered trailing through the metropolis behind this shrub.
Good Lord, I've only got about 5 minutes. My governor insisted I caught the 12:50 back. Didn't want me hanging around in town and all that. I told him I had to go to my dentist. There'll be the deuce lot of unpleasantness if I miss that train. No, I've got to talk quick about this thing. Do you know, you aren't in the least like what I expected you to be.
In what respect do I fall short of the ideal?
It isn't so much falling short. I thought you'd be a tougher specimen altogether. I got the impression from your advertisement that you were down and out and ready for anything, and you look as if you were on your way to a garden party at Buckingham Palace.
Ah, it is my costume that's causing these doubts in your mind. Have no misgivings. These trousers may sit well, but if they do, it is because their pockets are empty. My uncle installed me in a highly lucrative life of toil in Billingsgate, but I have thrown it over to face the perils of the world outside. To be professionally connected with a firm that handles fish in the raw...
I say, old thing, you couldn't talk a bit less, could you? I've only got about 2 minutes.
I beg your pardon. Proceed.
Look here. You said in your advertisement that you had no objection to crime.
Within reason, And if undetected?
Well, look here. Will you steal my aunt's diamond necklace?
Steal your aunt's necklace?
Yes.
You do not think she might consider it a liberty from one to whom she has never been introduced?
Well, look here, is it... Good Lord, I must go. I shall miss that damn train.
And meanwhile?
Write and tell me what you think about it.
You have unfortunately omitted to leave an address.
I'll write to you.
I shall count the minutes.
Oh, after all that excitement, a quiet lunch would not come amiss. The senior conservative is called for, I fancy.
Oh, I've just remembered another thing I meant to tell you about Eve Halliday. One of her closest schoolgirl chums was a girl called Cynthia. And this Cynthia married Ralston McTodd, the Canadian poet who Lady Constance had invited to Blandings. Sorry about that. Oh, I ought to point out that this is proving to be a singularly trying day for McTodd. He has walked out on Cynthia forever, leaving her in floods of tears in the Cadogan Hotel, and Lord Emsworth has just walked out on him, leaving him to meditate upon the restrained splendours of the Senior Conservative Club.
I say, is this chair occupied?
No, it isn't.
You would not be perturbed if I were to take it?
You can take it away and burn it for all I care.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but do I seem to detect in your manner a certain half-veiled annoyance? Is anything the matter?
Oh, no. Nothing's the matter. Nothing whatever. I was invited out to lunch here by an old idiot who calls himself Lord Emsworth. To begin with, he's lost his glasses and can't see a thing. Lurches into every table in the place and just stands around burbling apologies. Well, then, when we do eventually get down to lunch, he goes on and on about his infernal hollyhocks and his stupid gardener. Never lets me get in a word edgeways. We come here for coffee. He doesn't even have the common civility to offer me a cigar.
Very lamentable.
And then some guy comes in bringing the old idiot spectacles. Claps them on his face. Do you know what he does?
For once, the imagination is baffled.
He sees that flower shop out there through the window. And he rushes out, buries himself in there without a word of apology, leaving me sitting here. I've never been so insulted in my life.
Scarcely the perfect host.
If he thinks I'm going to go down with him this evening and stay at his castle after this, he's mistaken. I'm going away now, this very minute. And if that old total loss ever comes back, you can tell him he's seen the last of me.
Coffee, sir?
Thank you, yes. Thank you.
My dear McTodd, I really must apologize.
Not at all. Not at all.
I was afraid for a moment that you might, quite naturally, be offended. I shouldn't have left you like that. Shocking bad manners, but... I simply had to pop into that flower shop. Beautiful roses that man has. Beautiful. Extraordinary fine display.
Indeed.
Nothing to touch mine, though. I wish you could have been down at Blandings at the beginning of the month. My roses were at their best then. Still, I shall have plenty of flowers to show you in the morning.
Will you?
Expect you'll write one of your poems about the gardens at Blandings.
Very possibly. Very possibly.
Lord Emsworth.
Yeah, hey.
A lady to see your lordship.
A lady?
A Miss Halliday. Oh.
Miss Halliday? Oh, yes, of course, yes. She's coming down to Blandings to catalogue the library. If you'll excuse me for a moment, my dear fellow.
And now I fear it is time to take up my hat and silently steal away. I suppose it may cause the old boy a bit of a pang when he finds he's a poet short. But what is that in these modern days when poets are so plentiful? And how am I going to get past him? He's on the steps talking to... It's her. The girl in the Bird of Paradise hat. She must be Miss Halliday. And she's going to Blandings.
Ah, my dear fellow, must you be off? Don't forget our train leaves Paddington at 5 sharp.
At 5 sharp, I shall be there.
Capital, my dear fellow.
Does Miss Halliday travel with us?
No. She's coming down in a day or two.
I shall look forward to meeting her.
It may surprise you the ease with which Smith has taken upon himself the guise of McTodd. But you must understand that Blandings thrives on impostors. It's a kind of cottage industry. The castle has been known to shelter two or three of them at the same time, even pretending to be the same person. Very little of this ever impinges very deeply upon the mind of the Ninth Earl.
It'll be dark, I suppose, by the time we arrive, but the first thing tomorrow, my dear fellow, I must take you round and show you my gardens.
I shall look forward to it keenly. They are, I should imagine, distinctly Ooja cum Spiff.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. What did you say?
I was saying that from all reports, you must have a pretty nifty display of garden produce at your rural seat.
Oh, yes. Oh, most. Most extraordinary. I trust, my dear fellow, you'll not think me personal, but, you know, nobody would imagine that you were a poet. You don't look like a poet. Dash it, you don't talk like a poet.
Well, how should a poet talk?
Well, like Miss Peavy. She waylaid me the other morning when I was having a most important conference with MacAllister on the subject of bulbs, and asked me if I didn't think it was fairies' teardrops made the dew.
Oh, evidently an aggravated case. Is Miss Peavy staying at the castle?
Oh, my dear fellow, you couldn't shift her with blasting powder. Really, the craze of my sister Constance for filling the house with these infernal literary people. It's getting on my nerves. Take you, for instance. Never set eyes on you in her life. But the moment she heard you were in England, she couldn't rest till she had got you down.
I see.
Of course, it's all right, as it's turned out. As I say, you're different, but how you came to write that...
Bilge?
The very word I was about to employ, my dear fellow. I mean, capital stuff, no doubt, capital stuff, but...
I understand.
Fact is, good Lord, Frederick. Frederick!
Oh, I say, Governor.
I thought I told you to be sure to return on the 12:50 train.
Missed it, Governor, not my fault.
This is my son, Frederick. Frederick, this is Mr. Mac Todd, the poet. Coming to stay at Blandings. Well, I'm going to the restaurant car for a cup of tea. Will you join me, Mr. MacTodd?
I would prefer, if you do not mind, to remain here for a moment and foster what I feel sure is about to develop into a great and lasting friendship. I'm convinced that your son and I have much to talk about together.
Oh, well, very well, my dear fellow. As you wish.
I say, what?
If there's anything that I can do to clear up any little difficulty that's perplexing you, call on me. What's biting you?
I said, he said your name was MacTodd.
Precisely.
But you said it was Smith.
It is.
Then why did Father call you MacTodd?
A case of mistaken identity, I fear. He seemed to need a MacTodd, and who was I to deny him the pleasure?
Do you mean to say that you're coming down to Blandings pretending to be this poet blighter?
That is the scheme.
But why?
I have my reasons, Comrade Threepwood. You'll pardon me if I don't go into them. And now, to resume our very interesting chat, which was unfortunately cut short this morning, why do you want me to steal your aunt's necklace?
Well, look here. I might as well start at the beginning.
An excellent idea.
You see, it's like this. My uncle, old Joe Keeble...
Keeble? Why is that name familiar?
Well, don't interrupt, old lad.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
Uncle Joe had a stepdaughter, Phyllis her name is, and some time ago she popped off and married a cove named Jacks.
Proceeds, then, of this jewel robbery, if it comes off, will go to establish the Jackson home on a firm footing. Am I right in thinking that?
Absolutely. Uncle Joe's giving me, giving me a bit for myself, you understand.
Can't think of a better course. My dear Comrade Threepwood, you can rely on my cooperation.
You'll do it.
I will.
Of course, I'll see that you get a bit all right.
My dear Comrade Threepwood, let us not become sordid on this glad occasion. As far as I'm concerned, there will be no charge.
What?
It's true that I am not a man of affluence. My bank manager, I'm told, winces in a rather painful manner whenever my name is mentioned. But I'm not so reduced that I must charge a fee for performing a simple act of courtesy, like pinching a £20,000 necklace on behalf of a man who was my boyhood chum.
Good Lord, fancy that.
And now, Comrade Threepwood, I must ask you to excuse me while I get the half Nelson on this rather poisonous poetry of good old MacTodd's. I spent a portion of my slender capital on his works in order not to be taken at a disadvantage. From a brief perusal in the cab, I think the fellow's not compass. It's certainly not light summer reading.
Across the pale parabola of joy.
What's that?
There you have it, Comrade Threepwood. What is it? Across the pale parabola of joy.
And now, my dear MacTodd, I'll show you the Empress of Blanding. Beach. How is the Empress?
Feeding, my lord.
Splendid, splendid. Come along, MacTodd.
You will find her ladyship and Miss Peavy in the arbor by the bowling green, your lordship.
Really? Righto. Come along. She's been feeding well, you know. Likes her mash.
Her mash?
Yes. Problem is getting the ingredients right in a bran mash, you know.
How do you do, Mr. MacTodd? I'm so glad you were able to come, after all.
After all? How kind of you to say so.
We're quite a small party at present, but we're expecting a number of people quite soon for the county ball. Mm. For the moment, Aileen and you are our only guests. Mm. Oh, I am sorry. I should have... Miss Peavy, Mr. MacTodd.
Maître.
I beg your pardon?
Master. How wonderful that you were able to come, after all.
After all?
You know Miss Peavy's work, of course.
Who does not?
Maître, you do? I scarcely hope that you would know my name. My Canadian sales have not been large.
Quite large enough.
Oh?
I mean, of course, that while your delicate art may not have a universal appeal in a young country, it is intensely appreciated by a small and select body of the intelligentsia.
Oh, Mr. MacTodd, you can hardly appreciate how I feel meeting you. It is like the realization of some golden dream. It is like...
I think I'll just pop off for a whiskey and soda.
I'm going to have a look at my flowers.
Don't be silly, Clarence. It's much too dark to see flowers.
I can smell them.
Lady Constance, I wonder if I might...
Ah, Baxter, my dear fellow. Here we are. You see... I'm just going.
Mr. Baxter, I want you to meet Mr. MacTodd.
Mr. MacTodd?
Yes. He found himself able to come after all.
Maître, could I persuade you to write some little thought in my autograph book and sign it? I have a fountain pen.
I'll put the light on.
Just some little thought.
There. May I look?
Across the pale parabola of joy. How strange. To think that you should have chosen that line. There are several of your more mystic passages that I meant to ask you to explain, but particularly across the pale parabola of joy.
You find it difficult to understand?
A little, I confess.
Well, perhaps I did put a bit of topspin on that one.
I beg your pardon?
I say perhaps it is a little obscure. We must have a long chat about it later on.
Why not now?
I'm rather tired after the journey. We artists...
Of course. Shall we find Lord Emsworth, Mr. MacTodd? Flowers are very beautiful by night.
Oh, indeed, yes. When I'm surrounded by flowers, a sort of divine peace floods over me. I sometimes think, Miss Peavy, that flowers must be the souls of little children who died in their innocence.
What a beautiful thought, Mr. MacTodd.
Yes. Don't finish it, it's copyright.
Charming, is he not?
I beg your pardon?
I said I thought Mr. MacTodd was charming.
Oh, quite.
I'm so glad he was able to come after all. That telegram he sent us this afternoon seemed so curt and final.
So I thought it.
Almost as if he'd taken offence at something and decided to have nothing to do with us.
Quite.
Good night, Baxter.
Constance, my dear, I should have coffee. Why have I none?
I'm sure I gave you some.
Well, then where is it?
Your coffee is behind the seed catalogue you're reading, Lord Emsworth. You propped the catalogue against your cup.
Did I? Oh, why, so I did. Bless my soul.
I've had a letter from Miss Halliday. She's catching the 12:50 train at Paddington, which means that she should arrive at Market Blandings at almost 3.
Who is Miss Halliday?
The exact question I was about to ask myself. Baxter, my dear fellow. Who exactly is Miss Halliday?
Miss Halliday is a very old and valued friend of mine.
Oh.
What?
We too have, so to speak, pulled the gowans fine.
Oh, I say.
Friend of yours? Well, you better go down and meet her, my dear fellow. At the station, you know. Be glad to see you.
I was about to suggest it myself.
Oh, capital. Well, who she is and what she's doing here, goodness only knows.
And now, I'm going to have a look at the lobelias. I have always held that there's no finer tonic than a good look at a lobelia immediately after breakfast. Doctors, I believe, recommend it.
Oh, I say, can I have a couple of words with you a bit later on?
A thousand, if you wish it. You will find me somewhere out there in the great open spaces where men are men.